Our chalice lighting words are A Shared Story by Reverend Sandra Fees. For the stories that long to be told, for the stories that long to be imagined and reimagined, for the stories that long to be envisioned and celebrated, we kindle this chalice. May its flame bring the light of different truths, different paths, and different voices, all needed to cultivate a transformative story of justice, love, and beauty.
From? Where are we going? How did we get here? The dream of North Lake began in the early 1960s when three women from East Shore Unitarian Universalist Church in Bellevue, Lola Reynolds, Betty Jerica, and Ellen Hanley, longed for a liberal faith community that was closer to their home. One that would serve the North Shore of Lake Washington. So in 1961, 12 couples gathered to draft North Lake's first bylaws. And this church received its official charter from the Unitarian Universalist Association on May 15, 1961. North Lake became the first lay-led congregation chartered after the merger of the Unitarian and the Universalist denominations. By 1962, Northlake has purchased its first building in downtown Kirkland, a former mortuary. From the beginning, Northlake has always had this knack for finding a spirit of renewal, breathing new life into unexpected spaces, always with a sense of humor. And then the church acquired a parcel of land in Juanita, further expanding its presence in the community. At the outset, North Lake's membership, imagine this, 27 adults and 43 children. Right away, it was a quickly trusted place for religious education and multi-generational community. In 1965, Northlake hired its first part-time minister and began supporting its deep passion for housing equity, partnering with the Eastside Housing Rehabilitation League by remodeling homes for families in need.
I invite Inga Tyson to come forward and light a candle for this first decade, illuminating its wisdom still today. May this flame remind us of North Lake's spirit of renewal, its commitment to religious education, and its dedication to creating spaces where all can thrive.
By 1971, North Lake's membership grew enough for the church to purchase a rental property, and its passion for education reform continued to take shape. North Lakers supported creating two child-centered schools, the community school, and the North Star Middle School, to help youth develop its strong sense of inherent worth and dignity. While the congregation was deeply energized by investing in the futures of children, it did struggle to find consensus on social justice causes amidst the 70s, which was a time of rapid social change. The sexual revolution sparked painful family struggles as traditional views on relationships were questioned in the community and the church's religious education began to wane. Financial difficulties, worsened by layoffs by a major local employer, Boeing, led to the resignation of the minister at the start of the decade. So during the 70s, Northlake was a lay-led, volunteer-run fellowship. It eventually sold its Juanita property and funded an upgrade to its sanctuary. In a time of cultural restlessness and a questioning of traditional authority, the congregation found unity for its members rallying together to remodel its building. The community bonded strongly over many ambitious do-it-yourself projects, despite not having a minister. And its leadership became actively involved and connected to the larger Unitarian Universalist Association. Many members attended the denomination's national and regional initiatives. During this time, this renewal took place as lay-led leaders started to attend the denomination's leadership school and started to learn the skill of thinking about what is this church's collective vision? What is our commitment in how we learn to adapt to social change? By the end of the 70s, a guest minister preached on a Sunday and inspired the congregation to not only reimagine its place in the world, but also to reconsider the value of religious professionalism.
I invite Pat Tuton to come forward and light the candle for this decade. With this flame, may we embrace the spirit of Northlake's adaptability and dedicated volunteer commitment to learning and growing through change.
We've made it to the 80s. In 1982, Northlake hired its first three-quarter-time minister and a music director, leading to the formation of the church's first choir. The choir enthusiastically took on musical challenges and started to grow this beautiful, vibrant music ministry that helped Northlake find its singing voice. By 1985, the choir held its first concert, which started a new tradition. Northlake's involvement in denominational affairs also grew as its members started to take on more leadership roles. And the minister at the time amplified Northlake's earliest social justice cause, housing. While it was very challenging for the church members to align on what a cohesive response could be, the church did decide to house a refugee family in its rental property and supported a nearby UU church in providing sanctuary for other families. For several years, Northlake's building also was the site for the Kirkland Food Bank until the space became too small to accommodate it. After a few years, the minister resigned, which left the congregation grappling with grief and a bit of an identity crisis. An interim minister arrived, helped the congregation grieve through this mourning, but when the next called minister left just after a year, Northlake found itself embracing its volunteer lay-led fellowship again.
I invite Diane Slota to light a candle for this decade. With this flame, may we embrace the spirit of Northlake's creativity, trusting that through every note and song, we can come together in both strength and challenge. May this time remind us our voices can find ways to harmonize and sing, even in times of transition.
In 1990, a new minister arrived. Membership started to grow, and the religious education once again flourished. All of this activity and contagious energy prompted the church to find more space. So, Northlake launched its first capital campaign. And after many lengthy negotiations with the city of Kirkland, it sold its properties to purchase a wooden A-frame church from the Lutherans. While the congregation thrived again through building projects to innovate their new home, the church struggled to sustain membership in its new space, and its large mortgage started to feel like a burden. Due to financial constraints, the church could no longer support a minister's full-time position, leading to their resignation. And as a result, the church transitioned to a lay-led ministry as it embraced the challenges of the 21st century.
I invite Minette Lesser to come forward and light a candle for this generation. With this flame, we embrace the courage of taking risks. May we remember that even when dreams don't unfold as planned, we remain here, together in both times of strength and struggle.
In the summer of 2000, Northlake hired a quarter-time minister who helped the church form a task force to really examine and strengthen what did it mean to be a liberal religious presence in Kirkland. The task force had clear values and goals, which helped the church find a part-time minister, setting the stage to eventually hire a full-time religious professional. And then in 2005, a historic funeral home chapel, slated for demolition, was made available to Northlake without charge. The only condition was that the church would need to build a new foundation and cover the costs of relocating the chapel. Drawing on its previous do-it-yourself spirit, the congregation said yes and dedicated thousands of volunteer hours to move that chapel to this new location. The project coincided with the church's ability to hire a full-time minister and a religious education director, making a new foundation for Northlake's future.
I invite Linda Lane to come forward and light a candle for this decade. With this flame, we embrace the spirit of commitment and collaboration. May we remember that through clear goals and shared effort, even in the face of setbacks, we remain steadfast, growing in mission and community.
In the 2010, Northlake strengthened its social justice heart. The church deepened its connections with interfaith groups in Kirkland and became actively involved in activism. Northlake members were very busy, working alongside the state of Washington to legalize same-sex marriage and secure equal rights for LGBTQIA individuals. Outside of that, Northlake organized vigils to protest the U.S. immigration policy and show support for families detained at the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, Washington. While Northlake was able to unite around social justice causes events, the church also faced some painful internal struggles. A conflict between the minister and congregants led to a painful and divisive rupture, culminating in the minister's resignation and some members leaving the church. This was a challenging time, and an interim minister arrived, helping the congregation learn what it meant to heal. With open conversations, small groups for members to deeply listen to one another, addressing conflicts, and rebuilding trust. Part of this healing also involved Northlake returning to its long-standing passion to support affordable housing. The church constructed a tiny house for an unhoused family and provided a safe overnight shelters for those facing housing insecurity in the sanctuary. By the end of the decade, Northlake had found a new minister who was able to nurture the church's commitment to social justice, helping it grow its activist heart for its causes.
I invite Chris Knowlton to come forward and light a candle for this decade. May its flame remind us to continue to act in alignment with our deepest values. May its illumination guide us to heal from the conflicts we face and build houses of love and understanding.
In early 2020, the first coronavirus death occurred just 5 miles from the church. While this was a very traumatic event, the strong relationships within Northlake kept the church steady. During the building's closure, Northlake made many improvements to its facilities. And when it finally resumed in-person activities, it continued to prioritize what it meant to be an inclusive and accessible community, continuing to offer multi-platform gatherings. The church also led vision circles to explore what is the future of this ministry? How do we deepen our commitment to racial justice? And out of that emerged Northlake joining a grassroots movement to honor the Duwamish tribe for their stewardship of the land. Northlake made in their budget a commitment to give real rent to the indigenous community. During this time, Northlake also focused on strengthening its governance, taking time to carefully discern, what does it mean to have power? How do we share power as a faith community, one that is aligned with our values and will keep us healthy and strong? This work proved essential in Northlake learning what it meant to have shared responsibility. And while the church's spiritual commitment to justice grew, disagreements between the minister and congregation led to their parting, bringing the church into its current interim season.
I invite Connie Spearing to come forward and light the candle for this current chapter. May we remember the strength of our community, trusting that when we stay connected, we can overcome anything with love and hope.
Through the decades, you can see how Northlake has continued to light the way. Part of this includes having so many devoted volunteers and that do-it-yourself spirit that has united this community in both celebration and challenge. As I look at this ritual space, I'm moved by the amount of self-determination, the things that have brought life to mortuaries, open schools, changed state laws, and even moved an entire building. As you reflect on this church history and its many chapters, I hope that you can see its vibrancy doesn't come from individual efforts alone, but from the shared connections among its people, all of you. As we continue to light the way, may we remember, Northlake doesn't have to do it yourself. For across many decades, this church has always known how to do it together. Blessed be, may it be so.